Yamuna Tira Banashai. Yamuna Tira Banashai. Jaya Rukmini Dorakadi, Shrukmini Dorakadi, Shrukmini Dorakadi, Rukmini Dorakadi. Jaya Jagana, Jaya Jagana, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Gauranita, Gauranita, Gauranita. Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol, Jaya Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa Padavrajak Acharya or Satara Satashri Srimad. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharyas of My Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitya Lila Pravishna Om Vishnu Padas of Angra Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakura Ki Jai. Prem Sikahosh Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Sri Advaita. Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopana Ashama Kunda. Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Braja Muminama Nam Ki Jai, Shri Namadip Maya Puridam Ki Jai, Shri Lalachal Jagannath Puridam Ki Jai, Ganga Mayi Ki Jai, Japona Mayi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Shrimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, and most beautiful Lordship, Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai, Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkanath Ki Jai, Shri Shri Jagannath, Baladev Subhadur Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai, Samabeta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Going Back to Home, Back to Godhead Ki Jai, ISKCON Los Angeles Yatra Ki Jai, Brihad Madanga Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, International Food for Life. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai, Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Hudirayat. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dr. Justin, a favor, some water, please. Thank you. So we're continuing reading from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 12, Appearance of the Kumaras and Others. And today's text is 34. Yeah? Yeah. Kadachit Jayataha Shashtur Veda Asangsh Chatur Mukhat Katam Shakshami Aham Lokan Samavetan Yata Pura Kadachid Jayatak Shashtur Veda Asang Shatur Mukhat Katang Shakshyam Yahang Lokan Samavetan Yata Pura Kadachid Jayatak Shashtur Veda Asang Shatur Mukhat Katang Shakshyamaham Lokan Samavetanyata Pura Kadachid Jayatak Shashtur Veda Asang Shatur Mukhat Katang Shakshyamyahang Lokan Samavetanyata Pura. Please chant. Hare Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna. Vaishnavis. Kadachid Jayatak Shashtur Veda Asang Shatur Mukhat Katang Shakshyam Yaham Lokan Namavetanya Tapura Kadachid Jayatak Shastur Veda Asang Shatur Mukhat Shakshyamaham Lokan Samavetanya Tapura Synonyms, kadachit, once upon a time, jayataha, while contemplating. Shrashtuhu of Brahma. Vedaha. The Vedic literature. Asan became manifested. Chatukmukhat from the four mouths. Katam Shakshami. How shall I create? Aham myself. Lokan, all these worlds. Samavetan, assembled. Yatha, as they were. Pura, in the past. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Once upon a time, when Brahma was thinking of how to create the worlds, as in the past millennium, the four Vedas, which contain all varieties of knowledge, became manifested from his four mouths. Please repeat. Once upon a time, when Brahma was thinking of how to create the worlds as in the past millennium, the four Vedas, which contain all varieties of knowledge, became manifested from his four mouths. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As a fire can consume anything and everything without being contaminated, so, by the grace of the Lord, the fire of Brahma's greatness consumed his desire for the sinful act of sex with his daughter. The Vedas are the source of all knowledge, and they were first revealed to Brahma by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, while Brahma was thinking of recreating the material world. Brahma is powerful by dint of his devotional service unto the Lord, and the Lord is always ready to forgive his devotee if by chance he falls down from the noble path of devotional service. The Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 42, confirms this as follows. So, padamulang bhajatak priyasya chaktvanya bhavasya harik pareshaha Vikarma yachso patitang katanchid duno tu sarvang hridi sannivishtaha. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation, any person who is engaged 100% in the transcendental loving service of the Lord at his lotus feet is very dear to the personality of Godhead, Hari. And the Lord being situated in the heart of the devotee excuses all kinds of sins committed by chance. It was never expected that a great personality like Brahma would ever think of sex indulgence with his daughter. The example shown by Brahma only suggests that the power of material nature is so strong that it can act upon everyone, even Brahma. Brahma was saved by the mercy of the Lord with a little punishment, but by the grace of the Lord he did not lose his prestige as the great Brahma. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashachadeshtarani Om Agyana Tamirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shapitang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Nvaisivangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Chadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Opesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubi Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaisnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse begins Kadachit, which in today's synonyms proper translates as once upon a time, but we should not take that as the imaginative, creative once upon a time that we were taught growing up as children. Once upon a time, there was a little girl, Red Riding Hood, who went into the forest. Not like that. More like when we learn the Jagannatha Sangeetam. Kadachit kalindi tathapi pina sangita. Lord Jagannath sometimes with his flute makes a loud concert in the groves on the banks of Yamuna. So like that. At a particular time, but not something imaginative. It actually happened. It actually happens that Lord Jagannath plays his flute and makes a loud concert. So similarly, at a particular point in time, this is happening. Lord Brahma is contemplating how to recreate the universe. And it's jayataha, while contemplating, we know that contemplation leads to desire. So he's deepening his desire by thinking how to do it. Shrashtuhu of Brahma. Veda, the Vedic literature Prabhupada puts here, but one may say in the beginning there was no literature. So obviously it's more of a modern translation of that word. Because yes, as Prabhupada was saying in his lecture on Sunday, it's an oral tradition. Oral tradition. Lord Brahma will speak, Narad Muni will hear, and question and answer, not just Lord Brahma just sits down and starts talking. Narad Muni asked questions, Lord Brahma gave the answer. Like one question Narad Muni asked that sticks in my mind. Deva Deva Jagata Tur Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja. He asked, he said that, I see that you're the head of all the devas, Deva Deva Jagat Dhatu. You're the manager of the entire Jagat. So he's asking, please give me transcendental knowledge. Give me knowledge of the self. Deva Deva Jagat Dhatu Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja. Tad Vijanihi Yajjnanam Atma Tattva Didarshanam. Give me that knowledge that gives darshan of Atma Tattva, the truth about the self. So this is how knowledge is disseminated. First of all, the audience, the inquirer, should be genuinely curious. Prabhupada was not in favor of people who ask questions just to keep the conversation going. No, that's not our approach to questions and answers. You ask a question because you genuinely want to know the answer. And if you genuinely want to know something, then obviously you should approach someone who at least you have a firm conviction they know the answer. If you want to know how to do your taxes properly, don't ask some guy pushing a cart on the street. Maybe he knows. There's a one in a million chance he may know. Maybe he's a, you know, former tax preparer who is now down on his luck. But generally speaking, if you want to get your taxes done properly, you don't approach just any guy on the street. You look, either you ask, do you know a really good tax preparer, or you look online, somebody who's get good reviews for preparing taxes, like that. You usually, if you want to really know something, you want to approach somebody who at least you have the conviction that they know the answer. Otherwise, it's just a disturbance and you may be misled and so many things can go wrong. So similarly, within our line, one should not ask absurd questions. Just, I mean, in the early days, in the 70s, not the earliest early days like the 60s, but in the 70s, when I was here in New Dorka had a reputation for devotees who would ask, stump the Swami questions. So the Swamis were a little bit uptight to come and give class in New Dorka, because the New Dorka devotees had that reputation of thinking of questions that were difficult to answer just to see the Swami squirm on the asana. But that's not how we should approach Krishna consciousness. Not that we dream up questions to ask that make people uncomfortable. You should ask a question if you really don't know the answer and you would really like to know the answer. That's the kind of question we should ask. So this is the tradition. The superior, we assume, has the answers. And the inferior, in terms of stature, not, we know all living entities, all jivas are of the same qualitatively. But circumstantially, some jivas are put in a situation where they're covered by ignorance, which is one of the things that Lord Brahma does. He spreads this ignorance, as was stated, he threw off that contaminated mentality, and it became the fog of ignorance that dissipates all over, that is all over the universe. So in ignorance, yes, we should want to know how to do things properly. What is everything meant for? And children naturally have that curiosity. What is this? It's a watch. What's that? It's a refrigerator. What's that? It's a car. Just asking, 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 and hopefully asking again the right person to get the right answer. So the Vedas, our son, became manifested, Chatukmukha, from the four mouths. Lord Brahma, we know, has four heads. Our Lord Brahma has four heads. But as we learn later on in the 10th canto, probably presented in its entirety as Krishna book, that our Brahma only has four heads because we're in the smallest of all the universes. When Lord Vishnu lies down in his yoga nidra, mystic slumber, and the universes become manifest from his pores in seed form, and then they expand. So that expansion is going on. And then at some point when he inhales, everything contracts again. So modern science, they conjecture about that. They can see that things are moving away. But what is the force that's making them move away? They talk about gravitational force that holds things together, that holds the moon around our planet. But the force that's making everything expand, that they don't know. Now, therefore, they conjecture about a big bang, an explosion, and then after explosion, things kept going. But generally speaking, we don't have that experience. When things explode, they fly somewhere, like practically every day now, something is exploding somewhere, this war in Ukraine and elsewhere. Boom! Big explosion. You can see so many videos on YouTube. Big explosion, things go flying, and then what happens? They come down. They don't keep flying ad infinitum. So what is that force that can keep something going? That's the energy of the Lord. That's Sankarshan. Both expanding and holding. The Lord can do both. Make things expand and at the same time hold them in particular orbits. So, Katam Shakshyami, how shall I create? In other words, Lord Brahma is honest that I have a job to do and I don't really know how to do it. As I've said many times, from observation, and everybody knows that the modern mentality is, just give me the basics and then I'll figure it out. Show me the basics of anything, you know, how to clean a car, how to wash, how to fix a car, how to make a house. Just show me the basics and then I'll figure it out. Why don't we want to know the specifics? Because we want to be glorified for the end result. You see, if I could just say, well, yeah, somebody just gave me the basics, but I figured it out and I'm everything. Look at it now. Then I get the credit. I don't want to give anybody else the credit. But that's not our line. We always want to give the predecessor, acharyas, the credit. And that acharya, not necessarily just in spiritual matters, as it's stated, the Vedas cover all varieties of subjects. So whatever you learn, you should always want to give the person that you learned it from credit. If your mom shows you how to tie your shoelace, then you give your mom credit for teaching you how to tie your shoelace. Later on, it becomes second nature. You don't even remember that mom taught you at some point. It just seems like I always knew how to tie my shoelace. But I guarantee you, at some point in time, either your mother or elder sibling, somebody showed you how to tie, make a proper knot in your shoelace. And you give credit. Or anything, how to cook. Don't try to figure it out. If you really want the end result to be appreciated by the person that you're doing it for, then learn how to do it properly. And that's the essence of devotional service. We never want to speculate. If we develop a desire or are asked to cook for the Lord, then we want somebody to show us how to cook for the Lord. And to that end, our Yamuna Devi, she wrote that Lord Krishna's cuisine, very thick book full of recipes. So when somebody goes into the deity kitchen, if either on a regular basis or you just get thrown in there on a moment's notice, open Yamuna's cookbook. I see a bunch of eggplant and, you know, peppers and whatnot. What does Yamuna say? How to put this together into something that the Lord will appreciate? Don't speculate. But we have this disease that we like to speculate, just like the scientists, because they want credit of figuring it out. The universe is going on. It's not like it's waiting for you to figure it out. You see what I'm saying? It's not waiting to be figured out. Just like even something as common as birth. It's going on every day. Cats are giving birth to cats. Dogs are giving birth to dogs. Human beings to human beings. But still they're trying to figure out. They don't know. They themselves took birth, but they still don't know exactly at what point does life start and how exactly does it happen. And therefore they do anatomical, you know, study. They open up dead bodies and they look at the insides and stuff. Instead of just accepting the knowledge. Accepting the knowledge that's there in the Vedas. In this third canto, it will be discussed how pregnancy takes place. How pregnancy takes place. Pungsak Reta Kanashaya. The male injects. Prabhupada spoke about that also in Sunday's class. How the male gives a semina and then after the first night, the little pea-like form is there and then it develops according to the body of the mother. So if that little pea-like form is in the body of a dog, it's going to develop into a little puppy. If it's in the body of a giraffe, it'll have come up with long neck and long legs. So depending on the body of the mother, that little pea-like form takes on a particular final form. So that's going on every day all over this planet. Still they can't figure it out. When does life start and how? And it's there. So our business is to accept knowledge from the superiors and give it to others exactly as we got it. Don't change it. No speculation required. Whatever is stated in the Vedic literature as given to us by our spiritual predecessors, that's what we pass on. Don't try to inject any modern scientific understanding or what understanding. They're constantly changing their understanding of it. It's practically everything. They constantly change. Oh, we used to think, but now we know. So that means you didn't know, but they presented it like they knew. Therefore, our Sariputta used to make fun of them. He said, no, it's not we used to think and now we know. We used to know and now we think. You see, they present knowledge like it's concrete. And if you argue in any way, they will kick you out of school. What do you mean you don't believe Darwinian evolution? You must be some kind of religious fanatic nut. Get out of here. You see? That's how they present it, like they know. But they don't, because they're constantly tweaking and changing and coming up with new theories and arguing amongst themselves. You see? That's not knowledge. That's not knowledge. Real knowledge is what we're getting here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Lokan, all these worlds, some of Etan, assembled yata as they were, Pura in the past. So Lord Brahma, again, he's contemplating how to do his service. And the Lord will inspire him. While he was contemplating, the Vedic knowledge came out of his four mouths. And as Prabhupada said in the past, the master would speak and the students would learn for life. They would hear once and they would remember for life. Who knows what a person like that is called. What's the name for a person who can hear once and remember for life? Shruti Dhara. Yeah. Shruti means that which is heard. And Dhara means to hold. Just like Giridhari, the holder of the hill. So one who can hear and hold for life, that person is called a Shruti Dhara. And I always, it's a little bit of a joke, but it's partly based on truth, like most jokes that work. I always warn young men that all women are Shruti Dhara. Whatever you've done in relation to that woman, she never forgets. She never forgets. Women are like that. They have that kind of brain when it comes to relationships. They don't forget anything. So if, lo and behold, one day they start looking at you strange and you can't figure out what's going on, and then she said, don't you know what day this is? And you're thinking, oh my, it's not our anniversary. That I remember for sure. And it's not her birthday. What is she talking about? It's the first time that we held hands. You've forgotten that. You don't remember. As a guy, you just move on. You forget that. But she remembers for life. So I always joke that most women are Shruti Dhara. They remember everything, at least in relation to relationships. So Prabhupada starts his purport. He says, as a fire can consume anything and everything without being contaminated, so by the grace of the Lord, the fire of Brahma's greatness consumed his desire for the sinful act of sex with his daughter. So there's a nice verse in the sixth canto that explains how this works in relation to chanting. Agyanad atava gyanad uttama shloka namayat sankirtiti agang pungso dohed edo yatanala. This is Yamaraj speaking to the Yamadutas. After they were stopped from arresting Ajamil by the Vishnu Dutas, they went back and they, what's going on? Nobody's ever interfered with us. Nobody can interfere with us. How would they? We're on a mission from you to arrest this sinful person. How could anyone? So Yamaraj preached to them about the situation of chanting. So he said, Agyanad Attabhagyanad Uttama Shloka Namayat. Gyana means knowledge. So either with knowledge or without knowledge. In other words, if you know the potency of the Hare Krishna mantra, or you don't know, Agyanad Atabhagyanad Uttama Shloka Namaya, the name of Krishna, as Prabhupada also explained this on Sunday, Uttama Shloka, choice language should be used for describing the Lord. Sankirtitim agang pungso dohet ajo yatan. Just as a fire, same thing, point was being made here in this purport. Just as a fire can consume any amount of fuel that you put into it. If there's a nice fire going, you can any amount of fuel you put in there just keeps burning. Similarly, just one time chanting the holy name of the Lord can burn up more, the reaction to more sins than you can commit. So that doesn't mean that we should take license. Oh, I can go out. No, that's an offense to the holy name. Namo balad yasahi papa budhi. To chant the holy name of the Lord for counteracting sins consciously. I figure, oh, the holy name is so powerful, so I can just let my hair down, run around, do anything I want, and then pick up the bees and Hare Krishna. That's the greatest offense, Prabhupada would say. Namo balad yasahi papa budhi. Don't do it. Why? It's not that you can never recover from such an offense. Yes, but Prabhupada explained it will take a long time. Krishna, instead of running towards you, because Prabhupada said, Krishna is so kind that you take one step towards him, he takes 10 steps towards you. But if you consciously commit sins and try to counteract it by chanting, then Krishna will become distant. You won't have any taste and you'll stop chanting. We all continue chanting. Everybody here is chanting every day. Why? Because we have some taste. Maybe not the highest taste yet, but we're getting there. Every day, the more we chant our 16 rounds and try to be attentive and avoid the 10 offenses, that taste increases. That's called rasa. Rasa. And one who gets more and more attached to that taste of performing devotional service is called a rasika. Like today is the disappearance of Rasikananda Thakur. So a person who gradually takes more and more pleasure in performing devotional activities, beginning with hearing and chanting, is called a rasika. And the taste that you get is called rasika ananda. Ananda means pleasure. So gradually we turn away from the material pleasure, chief of which is sex life, and we turn towards the ananda of performing devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting. Once Prabhupada is here in this garden, and one devotee asked, because the discussion was about this, about fall down. And how do we know if a fall down is accidental or deliberate? Because as we've been being discussed here, if it's not deliberate, Krishna will forgive you. It's stated many times here. The Lord is always ready to forgive his devotee if by chance he falls down from the noble path of devotional service. So how do we know that it is a chance or was deliberate? So Prabhupada was taking massage at that time in the garden. And a devotee asked him that question. So Prabhupada didn't answer right away. He kept taking his massage. And then Prabhupada finally turned to him and said, if the devotee comes back, then it was an accident. Accidental fall down. If the devotee comes back, then it was an accidental fall down. So we should see like that. So many times we have experienced and we will continue to experience, devotees come and sometimes they take off like a rocket ship. Bhrigu knows, especially in book distribution, some new bhakta comes in and it seems like within a few weeks he's distributing 100 books a day. And you're thinking, wow, this person is so advanced, must have been a great devotee in their last life or whatever. And then after a year or two or three, boom, they're gone. And you wonder, what happened to so-and-so? Looked like he was in a rocket ship back to Godhead and he's gone. Or she's gone. So obviously, in some cases, that person fell down. But was it an accidental fall down or a deliberate fall down? Personally, we shouldn't make that decision. That's up to us. We're always ready to accept the devotee if they come back. Maybe not in the same capacity. Like if somebody was highly placed, given trust. An example. Somebody was the treasurer. And they ran away with thousands of dollars. So if they come back to Krishna consciousness, you don't make them treasurer again. Maybe this time they have to be the chief pot washer or, in charge of washing the cars or something. So you shouldn't be unintelligent. If somebody has shown that they have a propensity to make mistakes in a certain area, don't necessarily keep giving them that duty to perform. Maybe find something else for them to do. But within our hearts, we should always be willing to welcome home the prodigal sons and daughters. There's that parable in the Bible about the prodigal son. The son who didn't leave in that parable, he was not so happy to see his brother come back and be welcomed back by this father. He was a little bit uptight about that. I never left. I stayed and served you, and now this guy ran away, and now he's come back, and you're treating him like he's a big deal. No, we don't have that mentality. Yes, we want everybody, because we've all turned away from Krishna. We've all turned away from Krishna. We're all now in the process of picking up that original mood, rasa of service to Krishna. So we want everybody to taste that. We want everybody to taste that. And that's the impetus behind preaching. But we never see ourselves as preachers. We see ourselves as assistant preachers. And Prabhupada drove that point home once very emphatically. One disciple said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, sometimes when I'm preaching, Prabhupada immediately stopped. What do you mean when you preach? I'm preaching and you're helping me. So if we have that mentality that we're assistant preachers, we're assistant servants, then we don't lose sight of the, because that's the reality. We're being trained again to be assistants. And that mood of an assistant is there even in the spiritual world. It's not that when we go back to Godhead, we all become Krishna or Radha or, no. We become assistants to the assistants to the assistants of the gopis who are serving Radha and Krishna. So, brityasya britya, parichayaka britya britya. One devotee prays like that. Majjanmanam, manaranam, madukaitu bhari. Mat prarthaniya, how's it going? Brityasya britya, parichayaka britya britya, brityasya britya. Itimam smara lokanatha. He's praying to Krishna as Lokanath, the Lord of all planets and everything. That majjanmanam, manaranam, madukaitu bhari. He also calls him the killer or enemy of Madhu and Kaitam. Matpratanya Renugar Eva Asha. He says, the highest perfection of my birth and my activities, Majjanmanam, is if you, my Lord Lokanath, Madhukaitam Hari, if you think of me as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of your servant. So we're not trying to present ourselves as servants of Krishna. We want him to think of us as the servant of the servant of the servant of his servant. And that is our perfection, as that devotee prays. So, there's a lot more that can be said. We'll just close with a few words about Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Today is also his disappearance. He is was accepted as the Siksha Guru of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Not his Diksha Guru, he was a Siksha Guru. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that he was the most highly advanced Rasika of the time. He would spend half the year in Vrindavan and half the year in Mayapur. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur said he was the most highly advanced devotee in both of those dhams. And he lived, according to some accounts, to be 147 years old. And that was, not that long ago. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in 1800s. So Jagannath Das Babaji was contemporary. Older, but contemporary. And he was very, very strict in his performance of bhakti. He was well known for having a very strict diet. And he strictly observed chaturmas, eating just a very little bit. In the first month, they said he would only eat 4 bananas at the end of each day for the first month. And in the second month, he would only eat guavas, like that. Very, very strict diet. However, once it came to the attention of the devotees in Vrindavan that he begged a roti, which we call chapati, but roti is a thicker version. Any of you been to the Vrindavan and have a roti that's made by the locals? Very, very wonderful. I remember being on Parikrama, and we stopped in one village, and the villagers made breakfast for us. And it's all by hand. They have an outdoor fire with a copper pan in there, and the women, they make all by hand. They make the dough, and then they don't use rolling pins. They, like that, and then they throw it in the fire. And those rotis, they're much thicker than what we call chapatis here. They're maybe 3-4 times as thick. So one of those, and they also made it like a potato sabji with dhania and stuff like that. So one of those and one spoonful of potato sabji, and you feel full. At least I did. And I have a good appetite. Much stronger than I do now. So one of those rotis and a spoonful of their potato sabji and you're ready to walk for miles. Very, very satisfying. So, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he begged one roti from a Vrindavan street sweeper. So the higher class devotees, they became very upset that, Babaji Maharaj, you're such an advanced devotee. If you do that, others will follow it. It's not good for you to beg food, prasadam from a street sweeper. So his reply was, there's nothing more sacred or purifying than the dust of Vrindavan. And this person, being a street sweeper, he's always covered with the dust of Vrindavan. So how could anybody not want to associate with such a person? And then they understood. His vision is much higher. They're seeing from the social platform, oh, he's a street sweeper, we are brahmanas, da 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 da. Babaji Maharaj was seeing on a much higher platform. He's a resident of Vrindavan. He's always dealing with the dust of Vrindavan because he's a sweeper. So how can anybody criticize such a person? Anyway, thank you very much for your kind attention. It's time to stop. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj ki jai, Srila Rasikananda Thakur ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thanks for a very nice class. I just wanted to tack on one little point which had to do with accidental fall down. It's not that just one falls down accidentally and then he leaves for 1 month or 6 months and then just walks back in. That's not the idea. There's a sense of wrongdoing, a sense of regret, a sense of, and there is apology that must come with that. And with that apology, there may even be a certain amount of shame. The shame is that I should never have done that. I hurt somebody, and therefore I should pay some type of a consequence in order to feel that, and that I never do it again as a result. So therefore, as I said, it's not just a walk back. It's also a regret. There's also an apology. There's also a feeling that that should never have been done, and I hope I will never do it again. And that's why those feelings should be there, so that we don't do it again, don't hurt someone again, and as a result, ultimately, hurt ourselves. We don't have to do that. That's all.